Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the end. This is summing it up after everything has been said. The wisest man that ever lived just gave you 12 chapters of dissertation and shared with you the wisdom he gleaned from a lifetime of looking and examining. And when he gets all done, here's what he said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the sum total of everything that Solomon learned in a lifetime. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Nothing greater than that, nothing more important than that, nothing more demanding than that. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, the Bible said, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord require? Now, you see it back there in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 12, you see that word duty? This is the whole duty of man. Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13 give you what that duty is. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us wisdom and power and liberty to preach. May the word of God be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. May it reach down into the hearts of the hearer. Touch us where we live. Change our lives for thy glory. Help us to renew and review and recommit to thee. We thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to bring you a little message this morning entitled, Duty. That's a dirty four-letter word. Duty. It's not something that our generation is particularly keen on. Here in the 21st century, people shirk their duty all the time. You live in an irresponsible generation. That little word duty comes from the word due, D-U-E. If you look the word up and trace it, the root for duty comes from due. The meaning of the little word due, D-U-E, is that which is owing. If somebody is due something, it's because you owe them something. Okay? So duty is connected with what we owe. So duty is not a frivolous thing. It's not a self-assumed thing. Duty is something that's placed on you, and it's your duty, it's your obligation, it's your responsibility. It's not optional. You can't decide, well, I want to do it, I don't want to do it. It's yours. Duty is like the commandments. They're not, it's not the 10 recommendations, it's the 10 commandments. And duty isn't, we don't decide whether we want to do it or not. They are given to us, and we are to do it. End of the story. So I want to talk to you this morning about duty. I was talking to somebody a while back, and their son had just moved back into their house with his child, and now his mom and dad, the grandparents, are, for all practical purposes and intents, raising their son's child. Well, that's because the mother's not doing her duty. And the father's not doing his duty. They've both decided not to do their duty. They have failed at their duty. And now somebody else is having to do it for them. That's neither just nor fair. Nobody ought to have to do your duty. Now, some things, duties are lifetime duties. When I was in the military, I was assigned certain duties to perform. Those duties ended when I retired from the Navy. Those duties had an end. But up until that time, they were my duty, they were my responsibility, and I was held accountable for getting them done. But there was a time and a place when they ceased to be my duty. But there are some things that are your duty, and they never cease to be your duty. You're just taxed with them forever and ever and ever. And no matter what you want to do, you can't make it somebody else's duty. You can't get out of it. You can't swap it. It's yours. It's like Obama said the other day, the responsibility for this crisis in the Gulf, he said, the buck stops here. He said, I'm responsible. Meaning it's his duty to get it taken care of. And of course, he's failing miserable. I want to talk to you about duty. Because duties are not optional. Duties are burdens or responsibilities that are placed on you that only you can do, and nobody can do them for you. I know this is going to sound old-fashioned, but I'm old enough now I can get away with that. You know, I'm almost 66, so you know they say, "Oh, he's just so old-fashioned." Okay, I can wear that mantle now. When a man takes a wife, see that they don't do that anymore. Young couples get together and they decide that they're going to do this and that, and they are equals. And well, used to a man took a wife. And when he did that, he assumed certain duties. And one of those duties was he was to care for her, provide her a living, a house and food and health care and all that stuff. Those are my duties. It is not Brother Lewis's duty to take care of the physical needs of my family. That's my duty. He's got a duty to his own. Amen? That doesn't mean we don't help each other from time to time. We can. That's the way compassionate people are. That's the way Christian people ought to be. But the duty falls on me. Amen? I took a wife and I said, if you will be my wife, if you will bear my children, care for my home, promote me, I will supply these things for you. We have a contract. We have an agreement. Now, I either do my duty or I don't. There's no in between. It's a very black and white, very simple proposition. She has a duty to me that she agreed to when we wed. I have a duty to her. Then we brought children into the world. We have a duty to them. It's not the state's responsibility. It's not their duty to raise my children. It's not the state's responsibility. It's not your responsibility. It's not welfare's responsibility to take care of my children. I brought them into the world. They are my responsibility, and it is my duty. I owe them. They are due something from me. And so, if I'm a real man, if I have any character, if there's any principle about me, I will meet my duties. I will perform them. Everybody agree with me? I want to keep us all on the same page here, because I'm setting a trap. I don't want to leave you any wiggle room. Now, I have about four or five things to say about duty, very simple things, very profound things. We all have duties. We have duty to our family, we have duty to our country, we have duty to God. And I could spend a lot of time enumerating what those duties are, and we could spend a lot of time either praising people who have performed their duties and met them well. We could spend a lot of time in condemnation of those who have forsaken their duties and not performed them. I don't want to get too bogged down in that. A fellow wrote one time, "There is nothing in all the universe that I fear, but I shall not know all my duty or fail to do it." You understand what the guy just said? He said the greatest fear he had was that he wouldn't understand, he wouldn't perceive what all of his duty was. And on top of that, it would be a fearful thing. He fears that he would not do it. Because it's an obligation, it's a commitment that is yours and yours alone. Robert E. Lee, the general of the Southern Army that would have defeated the North had we had more help, had a little more industry in the South, and the French had showed up sooner. Robert E. Lee said, "Duty is the sublimest of all." I said, "Where am I at?" Is the sublimest word in our language. Do your duty in all things. You cannot do more, and you should never wish to do less." Oh man, some of those old men had such a sense of duty. They were honorable men. If you gave your word, you kept it. That was your duty. You undertook a thing. You saw it through. It's your duty. They were, their outlook, their perspective on duty is so alien from the outlook that we see in the 21st century, where people forsake and shun their duty without even a thought these days. They just abandon their responsibilities. Leave it for another. They assume that it is the duty of another, when in fact, it's theirs. He said, "Do your duty in all things. You cannot do more." You realize, if you really want to be great, the first step to greatness is to be the simple act of doing your duty, day in and day out, in all things. What an awesome responsibility. Our generation does not look around to see, we do not evaluate what is our duty. We just want to get through life as quickly and as simply and with as little hassle as possible. And if a thing gets hard or difficult, we just drop it. We just forsake it. You know why there are so many divorces today? Because it's tough being married. And nobody will do their duty. You said, "Till death do us part, in sickness and in health, for better, for worse." I wouldn't have got it. Somebody would actually think about what they're saying before they said those words. Well, everybody says that. You know, nobody really means it. Well, you ought to really mean it. You're taking an oath before God. I said, in sickness and health, I don't care how sick she gets. I don't care how costly it is. I don't care what else I had to put on hold. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. It is my duty to take care of her. I gave my word. Marry me, and I will stick with you in sickness and in health. Now, we got the good time part down. It's the sickness that we bail out on. We forsake our duty. Amen? Everybody still with me, ain't you? Okay, now I'm going to stay on this. I'm just going to get a little... you're going to say, when is he going to move on? Is he going to beat this thing to death? But that's exactly what I'm going to do. We all have duties. Number two, we all may do our duty. And here's a wonderful thing. Somebody wrote, knowledge is the hill which few hope to climb, but duty is the path that all may tread. Isn't that simple? You know, you may not be the wisest man that ever lived. You may not be a rocket scientist. You may not ever be a professor. There may be a lot of things you don't know. To be great and famous and renowned for intellect may never be yours. That's the hill that few can climb. But duty is the path that all may tread. I'll tell you what you can do. You can do your duty. You may not do mine, but you can do yours. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be wealthy. The poorest man, the lowliest street urchin, the most simple southern redneck is perfectly capable of performing their duties. Now, he may not like them. He may not choose to. But you can do your duty. If it is your duty to do, you can do it. People say, well, you know, I'm not smart, and I don't know this, and I don't have a lot of education, and we don't have much money, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. You can do this. Amen? I have a duty to love my children. I can do that. I have a duty to love my wife. I can do that. I have a duty to love my country. I can do that. I have a duty to be faithful. I can do that. Okay. If it's my duty, I can do it. I'm here to tell you, if it's your duty, you can do it too. Now, you need to know what your duty is, and then you need to do it. And if it is, in fact, your duty, you can do it. Number three, we all must do our duty, for it is our duty. I say, does that sound redundant? I couldn't think of a better way to say it. Why must we do our duty? Because it's our duty to do our duty. Amen? Somebody said, I love this. I wish if I'd have been younger and started sooner, I'd have wrote this. I know I would have. Listen to this. Now, this is sublime. When any duty is to be done, it is fortunate for you if you feel like doing it. But if you don't feel like doing it, that is no reason not to do it. Now, you know, it's your duty to do it, and if you really feel like doing it, glory to God, amen? Well, I've got this duty, I've got this responsibility, and I'm into it, I'm ready for it, and I'm enjoying it, and you know, it's my duty, and I feel like doing it. How fortunate can I be? But suppose it's my duty, and I don't feel like doing it. That's no reason not to do it. It's still my duty. So what does that mean? That means whether you want to or not, if it's yours, do it. Amen. Now, did you ever think, if everybody would just do their own duty, what a world we would live in. What a place this would be. Nobody in this room would be picking up the slack for anybody else if everybody had done their duty. You would not be paying for some homosexual to get that rainbow cocktail they take to keep their AIDS under control. You would not be paying for thousands of abortions. You would not be paying for thousands of unwanted babies. Say why? Well, if everybody done their duty, those problems wouldn't be there. What a different world it would be. Number four. We all suffer when we fail in our duties. Now, I want everybody to pay attention to me this morning. It's a very important message. It's a very important subject. And we're going to make available free copies to anybody who wants it. Point number four. We all suffer when we fail in our duties. A fellow named Ichabod Spence wrote this. And that just astounds me because, you know, the word Ichabod, literal translation of Ichabod is the glory is departed. You know, when the Lord wrote Ichabod over the door, it's because God was gone. God's name is Ichabod Spencer. Here's what he wrote. He who is false to present duty breaks a thread in the loom and will see the defect when the weaving of a lifetime is unfolded. Whoa. Whoa. If God's got everything written down, when God unrolls the tapestry of your life, every broken thread will be visible. Let me read that one more time. He who is false to present duty breaks a thread in the loom and will see the defect when the weaving of a lifetime is unrolled. God is a rewarder, and one great principle on which he dispenses his reward is this. Through our faithfulness in one thing, he bestows grace upon us to be faithful in another. Now, what does all that mean? That means that when you don't do your duty, you mess up God's plan for your life. You break a thread in the loom. The fabric of your life is now less than perfect. It's less than it should have been. And what could have been a beautiful tapestry on the halls of eternity now has a defect. And every time you are false to present duty, you break a thread. And it will be hung on the halls of glory for all to see for all time and eternity. Now, how important is duty? Then he said, God is a rewarder, and one of the principles upon which God rewards is this. If you are faithful in one thing, God dispenses grace to be faithful in another. Which means if you're not faithful to do your duty, God doesn't allow you any more privilege. You hinder God's grace in your life when you don't do what you're supposed to do. When you don't do your duties, you limit the hand of God in your life. I read that thing, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it. I read the thing over and over again. Make you want to sit down and cry. Number five. We all are judged by the performance of our duties. Now, you understand that I'm talking to saved people. This message has nothing to do with anybody who's not saved. We're not talking about God rewarding you to get, you know, if you do this or that, the other, God takes you. That's not that kind of. The rewards that God meets out at the judgment and the rewards that God gives in this life, in this present life, are predicated on duty, performance of duty. Now, somebody wrote this. This guy's name was Thomas Carlyle. And Thomas Carlyle said, "Whatever our place allotted to us by providence, that for us is the post of honor and duty. God estimates us not by the position we are in, but by the way in which we fill it." Well, some of them old boys were so smart, weren't they? Let me read again. Sometimes you have to read it two or three times for it to soak in what the guy's saying. Whatever our place allotted to us by providence. That means wherever you're put, wherever you're born, wherever you're raised, whatever station you're in. By providence, for that for us is the post of honor and duty. Okay, wherever you're at, that's where you have to serve. That's where you have to do what God wants. That's where you win, lose, or whatever. So whatever place you're put by providence, that becomes your place of honor and duty. There's an old adage that said, bloom where you're planted. Same thing. God estimates us not by the position we are in, but by how we fill the position. See, God's not so interested in, are you just an ordinary man working 8 to 5, 5 days a week and taking care of a family, or if you're the CEO of a bank or the president of the country. That's not what's important. What's important is if you are a working man, an hourly wage guy, and you execute your duties to the best of your ability, God looks to see how you took care of the duties you were assigned. Now, you weren't assigned the same duties and responsibility as this other fella, but you're not going to be judged by them. Amen. God's not going to estimate you by this guy's task and requirements, his duties. He's going to look and see what you did with what God required from you. So, at the judgment, you could be just as rewarded by Almighty God and promoted by Almighty God exactly the same as the governor or the president or the CEO or the orator or the professor. It would make no difference. Because each of them won't be judged on the position they held, but how they performed their duties. And boy, the more you think about that, the more incumbent it becomes upon us to do what we're supposed to do where we're at. I don't need to worry about what Lewis Steele is getting done and how well he's doing. Maybe I can pray for him, but my responsibility is to do my duty the best I can. Your duty is to do your duty the best you can. And you can't sit around and say, well, if I'd have been born here, if I'd have been born there, if I had this opportunity. No, this is your place of duty and honor. This is where you make your mark. This is where you serve God. This is where you do what you're supposed to do or you don't do what you're supposed to do. And the truth is, where you're at makes no difference in how you do it. People who do their duty do it whether they're the simplest and meanest person in the world or the most graduated and elevated person. It makes no difference. Because the performance of your duty is a reflection of your character. Oh, Thomas Carlyle, he's a pretty smart fellow. Everybody, are we on the same page now? Everybody agree with me so far? Have I said anything amiss or anything that anybody would disagree with? Surely, all sane people, reasonable people, would agree that it is our individual responsibility to do our own duty. Amen? One, we can't do that of another, and another cannot really do ours. And if we do it well, God takes note, and if we do it poorly, God takes note. And so that we are ultimately responsible to God for the performance of our duties. Amen? Now here's the question. I've said all the foregoing to get to here. What is your number one duty? What's the most important responsibility you have? Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And when you allow anybody and or anything to get in the way of that, you are not properly performing your duties. Now I want you to understand. I have a duty to my employer. I have a duty to my wife. I have a duty to my children. I have a duty to my country. I have a duty to my church. And I have a duty to my God. That's a lot of duties. Here's a wonderful thing. You probably ought to write this in your Bible someplace. Duties never conflict. Never. If I'm doing my duty and doing it properly, all of my duties will coincide. I can do my duty to God and country and family, and they will never get in each other's way. If there's a conflict, it's because you have overdone something, not done something, or done something improperly. Duty properly understood and properly executed never conflicts with another duty. Now the problem most of the time is this. We put the priority on the wrong set of duties. That's the problem. We think that things that are of little or no importance are the most important. And those things which are most important are valued less by us, esteemed less by us, therefore they're at the bottom of our list. I can tell you how to get the rest of your duties in line and in sync and be able to do them all. You have to prioritize which ones are the most important. And the first and the greatest and the most important duty is to God. If you got your relationship with God where it ought to be and you live for God like you should, it would make it much easier to perform the duties for all those other places. If you get God in the wrong place, it messes everything up and it makes it almost impossible to do your duty like you should. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God always comes first. But the modern Christian thinks almost everything else comes first and God is fundamentally an afterthought. Truth is, God is our first duty. Coming to church is more important than going to work. Serving God is more important than serving your country. Now, most of the time, if you do it right, you can do both of those. There are exceptions. There are times when your country demands things of you that are contrary to this book and the will of God, and you would have to put duty to God ahead of duty to country. Those are exceptions. That don't happen a lot, but it can happen. But you've still got to get the right duties in the right order for it to come out right. And it won't work by putting God last. Sears and Roebuck does not come ahead of God. You owe God the tithe before you owe anybody else the tithe. Amen? So, I have six little points here about... I'm not going to get them all done. I'll make them brief. We all owe our greatest duty to our God. There's six things you owe to God. And there might be some more. I'm not saying this is an exhaustive list, but this will get the bulk. Amen? If you cap this well, you'll get 90% of the oil. I wasn't sure everybody was going to get that. Number one, it's your duty to God to trust Him. Just to trust Him. People say, well, I believe in God. That's not the same thing. It's your duty to trust Him. So how do you know if you trust God? Okay, I trust God, and I know for sure that I do. So how do I know that? I've looked around for any possible way to deliver me from my sin. I've looked around for any possible way to keep myself from hell. I've looked around for any and all ways to keep myself from judgment. I could not find any. Then God said that if I would receive His Son, He would save me, seal me, and keep me. You know what I've done? I have placed myself in His care. I am trusting God to keep His Word. That's what saving faith is. So, preacher, did you feel goosebumps? I didn't feel anything. Did you have a sensation? Did you speak in tongues? Or I didn't do any of that stuff. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God said, if I would receive Jesus Christ, He would save me. He said, I'm in His hand, and His hand is in the Father's hand. So all I've done, I know I'm trusting God because I have put myself in His hand, and I'm saying, keep me. And I'm living my life like He's keeping me. That's saving faith. You say, well, no signs, no wonders, you don't see anything, you don't feel... No, I'm just trusting God. If I tell Brother Lewis, Brother Lewis, I'll meet you here at the church house at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and I'll have a motor, and we'll change the motor and the air conditioner. He says, okay. Then at 5 o'clock, he shows up. What did he do? He put trust in my word. He took me. That's trust. It's our duty to trust God. It is our duty just to take Him at His word. God said it, and that settles it. Amen. It's your duty not just to believe in God, but to trust God. By the way, if I can trust God for my soul, I can trust God for anything. Amen. If I can trust God with my soul, I can trust God with my family. If I can trust God with my soul, I can trust God for my country. So number one, it is our duty to trust Him. Number two, it is our duty to serve Him. Service to God is not optional. We can't serve if we feel like it and not serve if we don't feel like it. It's your duty. It's required. If you're a Christian, if you're saved by God's amazing grace, then it becomes your duty to serve God Almighty. Now, we may not all serve in the same place. I'm the pastor here, and this seat is not empty, and it's not vacant, and nobody's welcome to it. Amen. But that doesn't mean that you can't serve God some way, somewhere. Believe me, there's enough need in this old world. There's a place for you to serve. And if you've been sitting around and all you're doing is living your life and enjoying your family, you need to get off your blessed assurance and get busy doing your duty. Now, you've already agreed with me that you ought to do your duty. Number three, I'm trying to get through on time. Without quenching the Spirit. It's our duty to trust Him. It is our duty to serve Him. It is our duty to obey Him. The Bible said that it is better to obey than to sacrifice. See, well, it was only a little disobedience. Adam and Eve had a duty to obey God. God created them. God blessed them. God put them in a perfect environment. Put them in a beautiful garden. All manner of fruit. No labor required. Everything that Adam and Eve needed was at their disposal, and it was all provided by God at no expense to them. Now, that's a deal. You're talking about an all-expense-paid vacation to a tropical paradise? There it is, buddy. Genesis chapter 3. Amen? And God said, don't eat of that raggedy tree right there. Don't eat that one. Anything else, as much as you want, whenever you want. You want to make a pick out of yourself, you want to indulge, no problem. Just leave that one alone. Adam and Eve had a duty to obey. Since they were living off the goodness and grace and bounty of God, and God restrained them from one thing, it's their duty to leave it alone. Do you know what they did? They ate a forbidden fruit. Now, we can spend a lot of time arguing about what it is, and you'd all be wrong about it. It was a grape. But that's immaterial. The point is the same no matter what. It could have been a banana tree for all I care, or a coconut tree. The point was, God said, leave it alone. It was their duty to obey God. They disobeyed. And disobedience is the reason you are in the mess we are in today. The reason sin entered into the world and death by sin is because somebody did not do their duty. They disobeyed God. When you do not do your duty, evil, hard times, always is the result of not doing your duty. How catastrophic that is yet to be seen. But I can show you that when Adam and Eve decided not to do their duty, the whole wide world paid for it. And is still paying for it today. You ever think about this? The Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross as a direct result of the disobedience, the unwillingness of Adam and Eve to do their duty to God, put the Son of God on the cross of Calvary. Obeying Him is not optional. It's a duty. It is our duty to worship Him. For crying out loud, how could it not be our duty when He gave so much for so many and requires so little in return? It's our duty to worship Him, to sing His praises, to glorify His name, to extol Him to the heavens, to lift up our voice and cry aloud and tell the world, oh, what a mighty Savior we serve. What a mighty God we serve. To brag on Him and to boast about Him and to glorify His name, not only with our voice, but with our life and our conversation among men. It is our duty to worship and praise Almighty God. I might add, our privilege. Not only that, it is our duty to love Him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why do I love Jesus? Because He first loved me. When one is willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for my benefit and my blessing, my future, my prosperity, I have an obligation to that individual for their sacrifice. My duty, according to that book, is to love Him. If God required that we crawl up the Vatican steps on bended knees over crushed glass, and it would merit for us heaven, if it would pay for our sins and remove our wickedness and ensure us a place in the celestial city, there's not a man or woman here that would not gladly get on their knees and proceed up those granite steps to deliver our soul from a deserving hell. And then boast as we got off our knees about what we did. Yet when God says, love me. Love me back like I loved you. Reciprocate in kind. And all is well. Receive my love gift. And all is well. And we say, well, it can't be that easy. There's got to be more to it than that. That just shows the depravity of your own heart. Your love is not a pure love like His. The only thing God ever wanted back from you was for you to love Him. It's our duty. I would give you anything in this world if I could love Him more. If I could show to others how much I love Him. You know, from time to time, we talk to people, you hear people talk or overhear them or something, and on occasion I've heard people comment about Mr. and Mrs. Hensley sure do seem like a happy couple. They seem like they're really in love with each other. Now, I like that. I'll be honest with you. I just do, because she is my sweetheart and we are a happy couple. And I love that. I wish sometime I would hear somebody say, well, Preacher Hensley sure does love God. I wish it would be as evident to the world that I love Him as it is I love her. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Lord, help us this morning to look deep in our heart and purpose and determine that with a new urgency and a new desire and a new fervor, we would strive in all areas of our life to do our duty. But I pray, oh God, that we might make the supreme effort to do our duty to Thee, for Thou art worthy. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.